out. So I was doing all of that. I think I was doing pretty good at my job as well. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I had to leave that job, I think 2 months in, because of sexual harassment.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Wow.
I showed them shigisha.
Hello everyone, you're now listening to After Scrum with Ada
and Ami.
Here we talk about what is new,
what's interesting,
and what you would have considered difficult to tell.
Lego! Hello guys, welcome back.
It's Ada
and
Ami
on After Scrum, and we have
Sophia.
Yeah. We have a celebrity.
Yeah.
At this point, we are now big.
Yes. I don't care what anybody's saying.
We are now very big.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have like, this girl is doing like crazy stuff in the Nicotech industry. Like, in fact, I can't even say a lot because I don't even know how
I'm going to put it. She's blushing.
I don't know how to put it, honestly. She just does amazing stuff. And please, Sophia, just tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah.
Wow.
We just jumped right into it.
Yeah. Just say hi. Say
okay,
hi.
Yes, I could do that. Hello, yeah. Hi.
Thank you. Yeah, her name is Sophie.
Yeah.
And
how's
your week been?
Mine?
Yeah.
I think it's been a lot hectic. Yeah. So today is the only day I got to rest this week.
Aww. Yeah. Oh, we dragged you out.
Yeah.
Oh,
it's fine. Yeah. It's fine.
How's your week at there?
Like my regular week.
But it's about to change because
you know.
after this, let me not say too much because I have deadline and just in case. But from here, I'm going to go and, you know, dance.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm excited about for my weekend.
Yeah, me too. You know, I'm looking forward to
going out.
Outside.
Yeah.
Exactly. Not me, though, them. I'm
excited. You don't know about that, you know. Yeah, but like this week has been like normal coding stuff and
yeah.
what interesting thing happened this week in tech, basically?
Now that I think about it, apart from like everything that's going on with Twitter and like, you know, Elon Musk.
No, we're not talking about Elon Musk.
I know you're tired of Elon Musk, but
that guy,
he's like
the drama queen.
He makes
he always has something every week.
Yeah, exactly. Back to back is like, you know, if he's a social media influencer, he'd be like,
guys,
he's already a social media influencer.
Yeah.
That's his main role.
Exactly.
And his side hustle is now Twitter.
Yeah, you know.
He's getting paid from all this, like, influencer work.
When he talks about Tesla, Tesla sales goes up, Tesla stocks goes up.
Like,
that's the influencing.
Yeah.
Influencing 101. Learn from Elon.
You need, right? But then I feel like it's one of those things that you can't say, oh, can't be like Elon, because not everybody can be like Elon.
Okay.
But do you think,
yeah.
I'm just looking at his influencer lifestyle.
Mm-hmm. Say what you want to say. Put it down.
Okay, I just feel like he's more of a, like she said, I feel like he's more of an influencer.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, if this influencer thing is what makes him his money or if it's his hard work that makes him his money.
Ooh,
so it's very controversial.
Yeah.
It's very, that's why I didn't want to go there.
Yeah.
You know.
I think that's actually Elon. I think that Elon is smart, but I also think that he makes a lot of mistakes. But then the thing is that because he's someone that people already put on a pedestal, even when he makes mistakes, people try to draw lessons from his mistakes. And somehow they're like, okay, yeah, well, he did this because he did it because he
It was a mistake. No,
it's a human being. And
yeah.
I don't know why, but I always have this issue when people put people on pedestals and they try to make you out to be this perfect person.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it's detrimental to both the person that you put on that pedestal and to you as a person. Because if you keep trying to like check yourself out on that scale, that you will never measure up.
True.
And if you are being honest, that person will also never measure up to like the pedestal that you've placed there.
Yeah.
Right.
True.
So I don't know. It's like kind of like, but what do you think?
No comment. What is
Yeah, you're using the Elon Musk
slander. I mean, what if I want to work for X?
Oh, one day.
No, I'm not saying that he's not like, we're just like assuming, because you know, he's he's a genius. We all know that. It's not easy to build a company from multiple companies and lead them from where they were to where they are right now.
And I think that genius is a lot of word to use in that context.
Okay. Yeah. But like,
yeah.
Yeah. Okay. I think so too.
Alright.
Yeah. So anyway, how are you? Can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Oh my God, you have come back to me.
Yeah. Today is all about you, actually.
You know,
we're just talking about like
our celebrity will be fangirling at some point.
Right. We're already fangirling a lot here, yeah. But then anyway, try to keep it in check. Yeah. Right.
All right.
Yeah.
So that question, tell me about yourself more. I'm always confused on how to answer that.
Mm-hmm.
But I'll just say importantly, I love my name a lot. So.
Yeah.
what's your full name and tell us the meaning of your full name since you love it.
Okay. Yeah. Like,
I always like it when she says it.
But okay, yeah. So my full name is, my full government name that is known is Sophia Ahoyza Abubakar.
Okay.
Another version of my full name that is not known is Sophia Ahoyza Halimat Sadia Abubakar.
Oh,
that's a lot of government names.
Wow. So it's a lot. I had to figure out. Wait, in fact, okay, this is, I'll come back to myself. I think this is something important to say because caused a little bit of a problem. So I have a lot of names.
Yeah.
And this is the last one I called is still not all of it.
Oh wow.
So
was it that like every single person, like your father's sisters and like everybody was like,
I think it was more of so my dad was a Muslim, so if it's Halimat Sadia is Arabic.
Yeah.
So had a mix, there was Muslim, there was English, and then Ahoyza is Ibera name. So just wanted to give name that represent each of those identities.
That's interesting actually.
Yeah.
But it caused problem for me because which is very honest with all you people.
Yeah.
And hopefully this would help. I don't know who's going to see this, so if anyone is looking for Sadia Abu from primary school, it's me.
Okay.
Because I had a lot of names when I was about to enroll in school now. I was like, this is too much for your file of registration. Let's shorten your names. So I was going by my Arabic name then. So you can split Halimat Sadia into either Halima or Sadia. So I was then I split Sadia. Then I also shortened my surname from Abubakar to Abu. So I was now answering Sadia Abu from nursery to primary school. So but you know this doesn't rhyme with my birth certificate. So when I entered secondary school, I was like, how far? Like there's so many names. They're calling me this in school, they're calling me this at home.
Yeah.
Other people are calling me, can we like, you know,
let's choose one.
Right. So I think it was now from secondary school and now went by Sophia Abubakar, right? But why is this story necessary? Someone DM'd me on Twitter.
Yeah.
That was like late last year. I was like, are you Sadia Abu? I was like, yeah. Like he's been looking for me.
He
searches with that name.
Yeah, and then nothing comes up
because I go by Sophia Abubakar. And I was like, yeah, I'm the person, blah 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 blah. Yeah, so
that's interesting. You have to do swear an affidavit.
I even have like two copies of affidavit. The problem did not stop there. So you see how I was going by Sophia Abubakar in secondary. When I went to university and I added my middle name, Ahoyza. So now documents are very different. And then my international passport, my voter's ID, everything I had with my middle name, but my school documents had Sophia Abubakar, and the one from way back had Sadia Abu. So I had to get an affidavit. So don't give your children plenty names. Your husband should decide. And just pick one.
Yeah, so I think you can actually have many names, but don't just put them on paper.
Right.
Yeah.
But then what's the point of having them? What if today you're feeling like, you know, I feel like a Sophia.
You feel like you're a Barbie today.
Exactly. And just want to, you know, the funny thing, when I was in secondary school, there was one point I actually like started answering success.
From
that for
where?
New success. That's none of my nothing.
It's from one of those book characters, yeah. It has to be.
Oh, okay, so the Daffodils was my favorite poem at the time was Daffodils by what's his name now? Oh my God, I can't believe, but I wandered lonely as a cloud, foot on high, waffles and valleys. Oh, she's. Don't worry about it. Anyway, what I'm saying is that Daffodils was my best poem at the time. Okay. And I loved it so much that I decided to incorporate the name of the flower into my name.
Wow.
So I said, actually, Daffodils. And then, actually, I had like my first Facebook account.
It was open at
Daffodils Success.
Wow. See, did it ever occur? Did it ever happen to you in school that your parents came to meet for you?
And they're
like, where's Zabda? Are people saying that's a good idea?
Adahu!
Adahu!
And then everyone, oh my God, fake life, Jesus! Well,
was never caught. I just eventually, it's very amusing, right? Like, I went from answering that for the success to actually like trying to make my name Adobe unique. So I answered like Ada, but then I used to add H at the back because everybody's name was not like there are a lot of Adas and I wanted it to be unique, so you just Ada then with H. But then now I'm fully embracing my name.
Yeah,
right? And I'm happy I'm at that point. There's sometimes when I'm like, no, my name's Ada. Don't worry about the other part.
Mm-hmm.
But for the most part, I'm like, it doesn't have H at the back, it's just Ada, right?
Yeah.
And I'm getting there, I'm not there yet.
So I think these kind of things happen when you have like a lot of like cultural influence from outside.
Yeah,
because
exactly.
Like my full name now is Amalachukwu. But yes. Then I had friends from abroad.
Mm.
And my parents call me Ami.
Mm.
It's AMY. I've been called Ami like since forever.
Yeah.
Now my friends from my brother are calling me Amy. Because Amy is like what they
actually
pronounce AMY abroad.
Yeah.
Like up till like this year, I still had one of my primary school classmates telling me why am I saying Ami? I gave him the link to our podcast and he was listening to it and he was like, why am I saying Ami instead of Amy?
That's my name.
Right.
Yeah. So it's so interesting. Even cultural nuances, right? Because your name is Amalachukwu, but I know some people that like the first time I told them that your name is Amala, not Amara.
Yeah.
And the person always blew a fuse.
Rejected it.
And I was like, I don't understand. It's not your name. It's not your name. So why is it such a big deal,
exactly.
Right? Oh my god, we just diverted into talking about names. But what is
so tell
about,
us like, more about your interesting life.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Tell us about like your journey into tech. Like tell us your story. Tell us your story. Let's be the first people to put it down there.
Have you told
your story too?
Exclusive stories.
I mean, I have told what we call fragments of the journey.
Okay.
In different scenarios.
Yeah. So here you're getting full on a bridge back.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So how this is that story?
Story.
funny time. So there was one very young, what's the word? Unassuming young lady that thought that she could take on the world in 2017. Okay, so I finished up my school. That was the year I graduated.
Okay.
Towards the end of the year, I think. And my parents live in Port Harcourt. That's where my family house is.
Oh, okay.
And so I had to go back home. Because you're done with school and everything. And honestly, I didn't know what I wanted to do with my life.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to be rich.
Yeah.
Of course.
That part has been very clear.
Of course.
My pen, I was little. I knew that I have money. But how I'm going to get there, I did not know yet.
Yeah.
So I graduated. I was like, okay, do I want to practice? I studied estate management. I had some firms that wanted me because I was like, best graduating student for my department.
Oh,
This background is very important, so that I'm trying to justify a lot of things that made me make one decision like that. I'm thinking I'm a wild person. So when I was done, my dad was like, you can't stay in Enugu by yourself, you have to come back home.
Okay, you actually studied in a school.
Oh yeah, in Enugu. I didn't even mention the school. IMT.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so that was where I studied. And I was like, I have friends that want me to work here in Enugu already. Did it make sense? My dad was like, come back home. Why would you be by yourself? Like,
mm-hmm.
I was by myself.
For
5 years
like,
in school.
Exactly. Yeah,
why
was the difference now?
So that was when he started saying that culturally, where I'm from, a single woman is not meant to stay by herself. And now you're at the right age of marriage.
Yeah.
If you're by yourself, they'll think that you're wayward, you don't
yes.
have family values,
mm.
that I should come back home, or I should go stay in a city where I have family members and I'll stay with them.
Mm-hmm.
So anyways, I had to go back home. I don't really have much of a choice. Then I just pay my rent.
Yeah.
They expire here and they don't send money.
Mm.
I've been living in Bridge. Any girl's not even a bridge.
You know.
So I went back home and then there was that whole journey of what do I want to do my life. To be honest, I don't know.
Mm.
Like nothing was coming and all the options I had, they were just not it. So that was when I made that rebellious decision. I decided I was going to move to Lagos and I didn't tell my parents.
Oh, oh wow.
Yeah.
So that we
what
you even said that to move back to Enugu, you said to move to Lagos.
Yeah. Like what even, okay, I'm not proud of this, but man contributed to that.
Ah.
No.
I
want to rub my imaginary beard.
I was entering my eyes. since then. He was in Lagos as well, and he was getting his shit together. And Nollywood too contributed, because when you're trying to figure out your life in Nigeria,
you go to Lagos.
So I told my parents that I was going back to Enugu for my clearance because I'd not served, and I'm like, hey, I'm sure. How much do you need? Collected some money, and then the only things I'll do our parents, collect from mommy, collect from your daddy, because I had big plans that needed a lot of money. So I checked the small savings that I had, and anyways, that's how I planned my move to Lagos, right? And I was already in Lagos for some months. My mom thought I was in Enugu. She's like, how far? Are you not done? How long does clearance take? I was tired of lying. I was like, see, I'm in Lagos.
Oh, wow.
What happened? They kidnapped us to get there.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm with my friends. You know, it's something I've been planning. But if I had told you,
you would have said no.
It's like, of course, I'm saying no. Come back home tomorrow.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not coming back home. I've already gotten a job. I think another thing that I appreciated was I wasn't struggling per se. I got a job real quick after school. Even I got to Lagos. The pay was not amazing. I was working with Real Estate Firm. And I cannot remember how I got that job. Okay, I remember now. I was just like moving around. Thank God for tech.
Right?
Had my CV and everything in my hand. As a graduate. Honorable graduate. I had my CV and I was walking by Kokoshu. Lagos Street. I don't know what's the name. Omole Estate.
Okay.
I don't even know how I landed there, but there was like an estate firm I worked in. I'm looking for a job.
Sending
your applications, and they were impressed, and I started working with them. So anyways, that those whole entire background was just to like let you know it was important to know that I didn't have like a background in tech.
I didn't
know how to code there, nothing. But I was efficiently using computers and all of those things. So my neighbors where I was living there, they were all in tech. Mentioned their name because they're amazing people. So there was Wale. Wale was a software dev. It was my first tutor ever, like my first line of HTML. You know, is this. He was the one that sat me down and taught me that. There was Emmanuel Dulande. He was a hardware engineer. He's currently the founder of Hinge Systems. They're doing like really amazing. And there was Toby Loba. I think he was more of PM then. Who am I missing now? Oh, Dixon. Dixon is more of product marketing and all that.
Nice. So you had the full tech.
Exactly.
No, I want to say a full company.
Startup. That's a mini startup right there.
They were all living together upstairs. Then downstairs, there was like Tochi. He was a networking engineer. And then there was another person that was automation. So I was extremely lucky. I came into Lagos where I'm living. I was just amongst people that these are very young people doing amazing things. So I think the first thing that struck it for me was I saw them like, look at what these people are. What am I doing in my life? How do you figure out that you could do this thing? And I am grateful. I think that was like the start of my tech journey. Like I mentioned, Wale, I started talking to him that I want to do what you're doing. It seems fun, it seems interesting. And then he started teaching me, and that's how I am where I am.
I think that usually, right, we downplay the role that like you being in the right place at the right time plays in like a lot of things happening in your life. Right? That's why some people say that someone is lucky, but technically it's when like sometimes it's usually when preparation meets opportunity, right? Because then
I don't even think she was prepared for it. She just was interested. So I think important to be interested in people around you and what you do. So I don't think like you know that it was fun and stuff, but if you hadn't shown that interest,
if so something, maybe if you are thinking, oh, I don't have time for this right now, I have so much going on in my life, and you know, it would have been like a completely different story. So it's such an interesting
start.
So that was when you actually like started to actually learn how to code. And so when did you decide, okay, you know what, I'm going to completely drop this my other job as an in this real estate firm and move into tech completely?
Yeah,
that's a good question. So I was in Lagos. I'm a very spontaneous person. I don't know if this is obvious yet. So while I was still working there, my academic advisor from my school, he reaches out and like, oh, this firm, not to mention the firm's name because there's a bad side to the story. So this firm, I just joined their board and want to set up a new office in Abuja and want you to be in charge, but before you do that, you have to like come to the Enugu branch, learn the systems, how they operate.
Back to the roots.
So it's like, another question, how much are people paying me? The amount. And it was like, ah, it's the same thing I'm earning in Lagos without the Lagos stress, and it comes with housing and everything. I did not think so. I packed my bag. This is not rich for 1 week. I didn't even send in my resignation. I had some of my stuff left in Lagos. I just packed one Ecolac and boom, I was back to Enugu.
Oh wow. Wow. So now you could finally call your mom and be like, okay, you know what? I'm actually now in Enugu.
See, I mean, we had resolved a bit. So yeah. I'm happy. It wasn't even just the Enugu Lagos thing, it's the whole you shouldn't be by yourself as a single man. Yeah. So she's like, you have to come home. But then we're kind of cool because even though I was working, I mean, I wasn't still cute. I still need to call my mommy for money. Like, mommy, I'm saying shaggy. Can I get this? Can I get that? Yeah. And she likes me too much to see me suffer. So we're kind of cool already. Yeah. So I just told her that, let's not be like, I did not tell you I'm going to Enugu. So she's like, okay, fine. At least we know some people there. We'll go back to Enugu. And then I went back. So my learning with Wale ended, obviously.
Yeah.
Because he wasn't there in person to teach me. And I did not have my own laptop at that point. It was his laptop that I was using to learn and come back from work. So when I started working with this estate firm here in Enugu, I continued using their laptop at work to continue my learning.
Aww.
And I have another problem where I mean, I would lie to you that I can do something I cannot do, but like, Sophia, can you do this? I'd be like, I cannot do it though, but
I'll figure it out.
So he was like, we have this company website, we want to do this, come and see this man's vision.
Yeah,
do this,
it will be floating, it will be flying, it will fly from the left, jumping from the right.
Not that me, I've left, I'll do this, but just give me some time. Let me use it. Computer here and figuring it out. So I was doing all of that. I think I was doing pretty good at my job as well. Unfortunately, I had to leave that job, I think 2 months in because of sexual harassment.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Shigisha.
This is interesting because you know, there was one time when we were talking and we were like, we've not actually
had
sexual harassment in the workplace.
Yeah.
So in that case, we are very lucky.
Yep. And trigger warning. Sexual harassment.
Oh my god. Yeah. That's terrible. That must have been a very horrible experience.
Yeah. It was like, it was really, really bad, and I had to leave. But I like money. You know, I'm not Igbo, but I tell people that my Igbo name will be Obiageri Ako. My Igbo name.
Akwamaka.
Oh my god, I'm adding that.
Yes.
So when it happened, normally I was telling my friend, she was like my very good friend from school, we're also very intelligent people, and we're both working, they're like, see what happened. No, I didn't tell her first, I told Kosi. I was like, Kosi, see what happened, blah, 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 blah. And he was like, okay, you need to, this is a delicate matter. You know this thing where, okay, you don't have to say it out so you don't ruin your career in the future.
Yeah.
It might speak against you in the estate, you know, community.
Yeah, exactly.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, I'm the victim here.
Exactly. Yeah.
Right? And number one, I have to go, but the accommodation I'm staying in belongs to the company, right?
Yeah.
And my contract says you people are responsible for my accommodation. So I'm like, no, I have to draft out the document. These people give me my next 1 year rent, and they're going to pay me my next 2 months salary, whether I'm working or not.
Yes.
So when I brought these things to the table, I was like, are you paying or not? Or do you want me to?
How did you think you had like the
confidence? You know, I lost that confidence. Because now people will be scared and just go away.
Or intimidated. Because I'm very sure that he probably tried to intimidate you with what happened and tried to kind of brush it off. Because I know doing Nigerian things like that.
As a matter of fact, before, I think he, I don't really have, okay, there's like some backstory to this whole, I think as a person, I've faced lots of sexual harassment in my life way before that point. I don't know if it's a good thing to say I had experience dealing with people like that.
Yeah.
So he thought I was going to be ashamed to tell people. No, this happened at night. He came to the company apartment I was staying at, the Gulf Estate.
Wow.
It was like, a semi-duplex, and I was the only person in the compound.
Oh my God.
Came there at night and was acting all nice. Oh, he wants to check if I was comfortable, blah, 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 blah. Then he wanted to like rip me. Again, trigger warning.
Oh my God.
Wow.
So, but
wow, that's so strong.
Yeah, he was smallish, so I could push him off. So normally when scenarios happen like that, people on the other side are ashamed to want to tell people that this didn't happen. Not me. The following morning, that my academic advisor, I called him. I was like, I want to see you. There was something that is going on. I told him exactly how it happened.
Yeah.
So I was driving the narrative. I didn't give him the opportunity to want to lie. So by the time he wanted to go and meet him and be like, he started with wanting to shit on my work, saying that, oh, we'll have to let Sophia go. Sophia is this. I'm like, that's not the Sophia I know. She's not someone that does this. I'm over. She has told me this.
Yeah.
So all his defenses are like, people are like, pay up, pay up. I'm leaving your office, obviously, but I'm also not going to be uncomfortable in Enugu. So anyways, those are all the backstory, and I'm going to answer your question.
No, I'm actually enthralled. I'm like, oh my god. You know, this is at times like I see in movies, or I hear about, or I read them as stories, right? Yeah. It's so scary to see that these things actually happen like very close to home. And you know, a lot of things they tell women to do when you go to any place and stuff like that, but this is like in your own home.
Yeah,
own
place, about. Yeah.
Usually, when I was growing up, someone has never actually been sexually harassed. I know a shitload of things to do if something like that happens.
Yeah.
I used to carry like pen around. Ooh. People used to think that, oh, it's cute, but actually, it's because I know exactly where to stab you. And then you just die. I know exactly where to hit and incapacitate you.
I'm so happy that you talked, because fear is such a powerful tool.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, you're scared of people will say, what will people say now? What if they now say it's me that started it?
What are you wearing to work?
Yes.
How are you looking at him?
Because before that time, probably he was giving you signs and you agree. You're giving green lights.
Yeah.
All those type of crazy things.
Oh, it's just so weird. But I thank God I left there. Obviously, I got a new place. I was good, but now I was jobless.
Yeah.
And I think I wasn't learning that period. It was just so many things going on. Like, I need my next job. I need to be eating. I cannot go back to my daddy's house.
Yeah.
Of course, going back to my daddy's house is always an option.
Yeah.
My parents would always, even now that I'm talking, if things tire me, I'll go back and tell my daddy.
Yeah.
But I was like, no, I need to prove to my parents that I could build something for myself.
Yeah.
So luckily for me, my colleague where I was working in Lagos got a new role with Xiaomi, and he came to me because I also feel I want to see you. What are you doing right now? I'm like, oh, I just left my previous place of employment. Like, oh, they need people for Enugu. They're just setting up in Enugu. Do you want to do this? Are you asking me? Of course. So I started working, and I'm really grateful for that job. I started that job, and that was like towards the end of the year, and I needed to wale my mentor.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, now you need structured learning, you need to look for a boot camp, register, so you learn there's like a proper structure. I said, okay, now at least now I have a job, I can fund it.
Yeah.
And I could get my laptop. I didn't have laptop then. I had little money saved. I'm going to mention all these people by name because I really appreciate their input to my career.
Yes.
I hit up MNDK, I was like, God, I need to get a laptop. How much is the laptop then? Like 100K. Because I only have the money I had was up to 30,000 there. See, I've paid my rent, I've done everything, but I need money for laptop. Could I get like a loan and I'll now be paying you up from my salary? And like, Sophia, I know you, I'm going to help you get this. I know that you would do one thing. So I got the PC. It was Mr. Charles that sold his PC to me.
Aww.
And so I came back January, I got the PC, and then I started my boot camp by March when the whole COVID thingy started. My company could allow, nobody was working.
Yeah.
I was home. Thankfully, they didn't stop paying us. So they were paying me and I was in the house. So I noticed that period of 2 months plus, so I was just learning, learning. I wasn't going to work, coming back. I did a whole lot.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, maybe it's time for me to leave my job.
Yeah.
So I didn't even do up to a year there. So when we came back, I just did a few weeks and I told my direct line manager that, oh, I would have to quit my job. I'm doing XYZ. I need to commit my time. I was like, Sophie, you're not serious. Jobs are scarce in Nigeria.
Yeah,
and you have a job. Yeah. I want to leave it to do.
That's business. The audacity.
Yeah. Like, please, oh, God, I'm putting myself
I need
in
you
hands.
To tell me how you are so audacious.
Yeah.
I don't get it. Like,
she has like deciding, a lot of audacity.
Yeah, from deciding that, okay, you know what? I really don't want to go back home. And this is just not something that I want to do. Asking me that, I mean, that is a very difficult decision to make.
Yeah.
I remember because I had a similar conversation with my dad.
Oh, okay.
And he was like, at first he was like, no. That was it. Like, it was not even open to, like,
no,
I
mean,
I came to his room that night. I tabled my reasons why I felt like I needed to be by myself.
Yeah.
You know, and after everything, he didn't say anything. Now, you don't know my dad very well. My dad talks like a lot, right? He can give you like a very long sermon, but I gave him all my reasons. He just sat down there, tapping his leg gently. And when I was done, he said, mba. But the second time we had the conversation, it was a little different. But I just wanted to know, like, you know, what gave you the audacity to actually say, you know what, this is what I'm going to do, and this is what I'm going to secret.
Yeah.
This is what I'm going to secret, right?
I have my parents, you must love me.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know.
Yeah.
So I don't know if this is going to help with Ebira people's marketing.
Yeah.
But I'm an Ebira woman. Yeah. And there's one thing that was like, they're stubborn people. Right? So I think my parents not complain so much because I got it from somewhere. So I think it was build up over the years, and I would also thank my mom a lot, even though she likes to, you know, for my own protection, because I'm a, if you've seen my spontaneous nature, could jump inside fire. You know, so she tries to pull me back sometimes, but sometimes when I show her that I really, really want something, she lets me go. And having at least one person in your corner helps. So my dad, just like you said, he's always like, no, it's fine now. There is no, we're not negotiating this, mom. This is what we're going to do. But if you're able to like pull your mom to your side a little bit, and you know, and that thing that you said, where I have tested over the years to know that a woman would never stop liking me.
You see, it's good to show your shege from the start.
Yeah, it's
you can't be waiting till you've grown up to show your shege.
Actually, you know, the first time I wanted to go on my first solo trip, right? That was actually my first time of being audacious with my parents, right? I just bought the ticket, bought everything I needed. I told them that I was leaving on this day.
You know?
And my mom was like, so who are you going to see here? I'm like, I don't know anybody here.
Yeah.
We don't know anybody here. Do you know where you're going to see? I said, I'll find out. I have the internet. I'm not going to die. Yeah. I'm going to get lost. And then after that, the second time, it was easier. Now they're the ones that are telling me, okay, so after it's like since then, right? We've come a long way up until now. Now they're the ones that are asking me, okay, so are you thinking about going anywhere now? And I'm like, no. I don't know, I'm still broke, but then let's see.
Miracles
can happen. And it's interesting, right?
Yeah.
So, I wanted you to actually, like, talk to us a little bit about, like, I know you do a lot of work with, like, the government. You're currently collaborating with the government to kind of, like, improve the future of tech in the Southeast ecosystem. So, I was like, I wanted you to talk to us a little bit about, like, how you
got in there, and how it's
how
been
that
so
started,
far.
How it's been so far,
let's see. Preamble story.
Okay.
This is still is this the same person? I'm just realizing that people I know that have the name Dick, but they're just different people. So when I have a friend, Francis, as well, he's also been very sort of people that I see doing extremely well in tech, and I watch him, I'm like, oh, he can do this, I can, you know, do that. So he had a friend, we were working on something. I think it was still that COVID period. I had to go to Benue. They're trying to set up some tech thing. Again, still in affiliation with the government. And so there were like a whole lot of, you're dealing with powerful people. But I was just behind the scenes. I was just going there to help my friends, take some data and do some stuff. So that was where I met Dick. And he said something there that stuck with me, like, going forward.
Yeah.
I can't remember who we needed to meet, but something about bank, and like, oh, we need to meet, I'm not sure if it's Zeni, but let's use Zeni for example, like, oh, we need to meet the MD of Zeni to do this. And Dick was like, Dick Cinderella, he was like, oh, we'll just go there, we're going to meet with the MD, we'll tell him what we want, let us do this. So the way he was planning, I was thinking that, babe, he knows the MD, he did not know the MD.
Really?
So he was explaining. I don't know who brought it up. Maybe it was Joseph. He was like, "So okay, are you going to call the MD before we go?" I'm like, call him. Like, I don't know who the person is. We'll just go there and ask. I want to see the MD. I was like, "Oh, what? We could do that." I was like, "Sure. Why can't we do that? What's going to happen if we just go in and say want to see, you know, the MD?" And of course, that did work out.
Yeah.
So I think, like, yeah, that's true. If I want something, I would really just go and say I want to see who is in charge of this thing and tell them what
the
I want.
They can say. No,
they'll
worries.
Say no, right?
Yeah.
So okay, I keep that in and I locked it. So I was speaking to T-Boy early 2021, and I was saying, oh, I want to do something for women in Enugu.
Yeah.
And I'm still trying to figure out the workings. I don't know this, but I know I need to collaborate with some people to make this happen. So me and him were talking about it, and he's okay, just try and design it, let's see. So it was like back of my mind, I was designing some things. So towards the end of the year, is it September, I was speaking to Joshua, I don't know, my friend in tech. Now you need people finally, like it's someone that will tell you something to do this. And Joshua was like, oh, this was not even in relation to the program. I said Genesys have stopped their Agora that allows me to use their workspace when I want to work out from home.
Yeah.
But now I'm looking for workspaces and the rest. And Joshua was like, oh, there's Enugu State Tech Hub. Like, there is.
I didn't know that.
Right.
Actually, before the program, right, I didn't know that there was such a thing as Enugu State Tech.
Yeah, also here, like, let me search it on Google Maps. And it was there, like, okay, it's not even so far from my house. I was staying around Bonkiti then, and it's just, I could trek from my house to home.
Yes.
So I just said, okay, I don't have time now. I'll try and do this next month. So next month, I went there, I went with my laptop, I went to the distance. I was like, I want to see the person in charge. And they're like, do you have an appointment? I was like, no, this is who I am. Another thing is, I think it helps to, this, it's not pride, just correctly introduce yourself. Right? Like, oh, I am Sophia, this, I am this, and I'm getting to the person in charge of the place. So maybe did not think that, maybe I
know somebody. Yeah.
I know anybody. And I went, I met with him, Mr. Chidube, he's a very chill guy, and we met, and he's like, oh, so who are you? I introduced myself, I told him what I did, and he's like, oh my god, I'm so excited to meet you. I've been looking for someone that is also a developer, wanting, and then we started talking, and like, okay, this is what I want to do. I came here, first of all, to use here to work, and I'm going to do, he's like, sure, you can, anytime you want, come here, and get to work. I said, okay, so I have a program, and I think you have one piece that I need, the physical space, and of course, this is the government thing, so how do we make this happen? And that was like November now. We started talking and he was like, yeah, sure, bring all the plans that you have. We'll make some intros and we'll speak to the persons that need to like make this happen. And that was how it started.
Wow. Very interesting story. Like from what I've been hearing so far is, go for what you want.
Yeah.
And don't really care about what any other person will say.
Yeah, exactly. And it's so interesting how much confidence you have, and the fact that, you know, the worst thing someone can, because I actually hear that a lot in everything that you've told me so far. Everything you said so far, right? It's like, I always believe that that's the worst thing they can possibly do, right?
They will beat me.
So that's actually like a very interesting story, right? Yeah. And okay, so that was actually like your origin, would I call it your origin story? I know this is like a very obvious thing, but I wanted to ask, why women? Of course, like, you know, you're a woman, but like, I understand, like, you know, people say, okay, well, the ratio is still not as like
high as guys,
but I wanted to know if there was something extra that's kind of like made you say, okay, you know what, yeah, this has to be tailored. Why didn't you make it like
general?
So women, because obviously because I'm a woman, and I think I have those experiences firsthand. So one, I would say from my personal experience, when I started, still to talk about the numbers thing, all my facilitators were men. I was the only girl. I was the only girl in the development track. I was learning web development as front end and back end, and I was the only person that's a girl there. And it wasn't hard for me, so I wouldn't say it was challenging. I grew up with guys, so it was okay. But I kept asking, like, where the women at? You know, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And I think a few months later, I met Shulamite. She's another amazing lady. She owns FemCode Africa. And she was running a mentorship program, and she was now saying something about trying to increase. I did not even know that there were not enough women in tech. So even though that I was working, I could see that.
Yeah.
Why is it just me here?
Yeah.
Or when you get to design, you now see maybe two or three ladies, but that's hard. But when I stumbled into her community and I noticed that she was specifically running mentorship programs for women, like, why? What's going on? She's like, oh, there are not enough women. Have you not noticed?
Yeah.
I was like, oh, that's true.
Yeah.
And then this program helped me a lot. It's one of the things that really helped me in my career. I met Ken. Ken has been very pivotal. He also makes introductions for me in spaces when I need them and all that. So when I
just want to say Ken Eji. I don't know why.
Ken Eji, right? Oh, that's
true. Ken, I was trying to move my thumbs so much. But then now that I have it out, you can go and
use. So anyway, that let me know that, oh, we could even do programs tailored to women. And even though I was working remotely, I was living in Enugu at the time, I was interacting with so many people based in Lagos. And then living in Enugu, I could see the disparity, the way they did things there, and the way we did things here. And then moving it further to the ladies, this is not even a numbers thing anymore. I genuinely think that most young women in Enugu didn't know that there's an option for them to do that. So I wanted to help them with that awareness that, okay, this is an option for you.
Yeah.
It's not, you must get to the tech. Tech is the only way to go. No, it's not. Maybe you don't really know this is this. And Enugu has like lots of high institutions. Like, okay, what can I do for the ladies? And it has to be women specifically, because not that the men too don't need this opportunity, but again, from experience, way before the other project, I had run some mini trainings in Enugu virtually. And when we pull out the programs, if we have like 100 applicants is going to be 90-something men and about women. Yeah. Still that awareness problem, because when they see anything tech,
they think it's for men. Yeah.
So we have to tailor it like specifically. It's for you. So when you see women, you see women, at least we get your attention and then we're able to bring. I think that's why I wanted to do that. Also for women.
There's something I actually like wanted to touch on a little bit. Not, I don't want to dwell on it, but I just noticed that you have like a very powerful network of friends.
Yeah.
Like,
how do you make friends?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I want to know, because I don't know. I think I've said this in a lot, but I have like a very hard time making friends, and not just like, I don't know if it's just like a making friends thing. I have a hard time being around people, right? Generally, but I don't know how it seems that it seems like whenever you need something to be done,
you have a guy.
It's a flex, by the way.
People that have a guy.
So how do you make friends? How do you think? Like, you know,
trying to think. You know, and this thing is weird because I'm the textbook conservative child.
Really?
My dad is an elder in church. My mom is a deaconess, and my life was just
amazing. Put a lot of things into perspective.
Right, yeah. So you go to school, you come back home.
Yeah.
I never had any of my friends in school visit me at home or any of those things. What's my mom like? Want to go and see your friend? Why?
They cannot
What are they doing?
They can't even come to your house. Wahala. And they can't use the excuse of you want to borrow notes. Where were you?
Yes.
Where they were writing
you notes. I have a very interesting story, right? One time, one guy came to borrow my notes, and my dad, for a whole year, right, I couldn't get the last of it because he was like, so of all the people in the class, it's your notes that they have to borrow. God, I beg. So I understand that.
I was super restricted, and I didn't see the point of even making friends in my formative years, because I couldn't do anything that other people were doing with their friends. That's why I love when email came on.
Yeah.
Yahoo Mail was most amazing. I was not able to send. That was like innovation. Yeah. I was able to send emails.
So you've always been interested in like the tech. The interesting fancy tech kittens.
Oh yeah, I don't know if we'll eventually talk about that, but I also want to like really also thank my parents for that. From my nursery, they value education a lot. So they took me to a school where I was taught how to use computers and so many other things for my nursery. And they also allowed me to use a lot of gadgets. I was using phones from my primary six.
Amazing, sir.
So, the only thing that they did not agree to get for me was my personal computer. I begged. Yeah. I cried. Yes, like,
the one in follow is that one.
There was none at home. I don't know. You just sit and play games. Get your book. You already have a phone and it's distracting you. So I had to use like school library computer. And Mrs. Constance, she was my computer teacher. She was like super amazing. And she taught me a lot.
I like that you remember people a lot.
And like, you actually like give
you remember their names. If you ask me, I don't know one person.
Better remember my name.
in my primary school. I don't remember.
So back to the whole friends thing. I think it was when I entered university. That's when I even started actively. Okay, maybe I need friends. Yeah. My family is not here. If I'll call my mommy, she'll need to it's far.
Yeah.
I need to start talking to people and all that. So I don't think that there was one specific thing that I did, but I think something that helped me was I like putting myself out there.
Yeah.
So when I entered my department, sadly, the educational system, especially at tertiary level, is meh.
Yeah.
So for someone like me that learned a whole lot before I got into tertiary, and then in our year one, we had some computer courses. We had some on calculations and these things. Like, I came to this department because I thought there would be no calculation. Why am I seeing statistics?
Yeah.
Like, why are you stressing? I did this in primary. I could do this. So I now, like, I'll come in front of the class and like, okay, I know this. Who wants us to, like, you know, learn, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. So I started talking and like, okay, I could do this for you. Do you have problems with your assignments? So I think that's how I started. I didn't know that that could help me make friends. I just wanted to like share knowledge and all. So but I noticed that putting myself out there helped. So I just kept on doing that. Even when I left school and I moved on to tech, and also I love teaching people things. So that was like natural and not so stressful for me. So when I started my tech, I had my Twitter. My Twitter started being active.
Yeah.
I was now posting something that I was doing, and I'm like, oh, I just finished learning HTML and CSS. If you want to learn, I could teach you. And then I started having spaces for data structures and algorithm after I got the scholarship for Nokia BIT then to learn it. I was like, okay, I'm done learning it. I can't teach you people. And so right now, like, been doing all those things, I met a lot of people, right? And these are the online ones now. I had Chief Ebuka, is the founder of Yearbox. He was the person that introduced me, to Mope in December. So I'm grateful for all those kind of people. I met him on Twitter.
Oh,
yeah. And Mope is now helping me accelerate my startup. So he met me one of those my posts on Twitter. I was like, oh, you're doing this. I want to be a mentor in your program. I didn't even know he was the founder.
Yeah.
I thought it was people that were like me. And I was able to just build those relationships over time. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if there are tips that will help people here, but just maybe put yourself out there and make sure you're giving people value. If people think that they can get something valuable from you, they would want to, you know, come to you, and you'd have favor bounce pulling from people as well. Then in the physical space, even though I'm not taking my own advice, I feel like people should also go outside more. And I go outside.
Well, the problem about going outside is like you have to have direction.
I met T-Boy on the road, presidential road. I will not forget.
I mean, this
term. That was done, but that does not like why. Okay, but go on, tell us this story. This is interesting.
I was with Mr. Charles. Charles is so I act too. And most of the days in my school, I was doing most of stage drama, theater, and the rest. So Mr. Charles was our regional drama director then.
Okay.
I think we just came back from Lagos. I used to be like a very strong reading person. So we went for a drama conference in Lagos, reacted. I got Actress of the Year.
Is that a dream you're very willing to pursue maybe later in life?
I don't know.
Hey, you're still young.
I just want to make money first. So I was working on the road with Mr. Charles. I was helping them review script. So then I was already starting my tech journey. And I was like, I cannot actively act, but I can review scripts for you people. So we're just working on the road. I think when we were planning for Coal City Film Festival.
Okay.
And our team. So me and him were working. Where were we going to? We're walking to his office, Proda.
Oh.
That presidential road. Then T-Boy and Gozie. Because I don't know if you guys know him. He's like one of the best hands when it comes to like animations and 3D.
Oh.
I think he's not in Enugu anymore, sadly. Lagos on Karaya.
Oh.
But so both of them and I think Izu, we're now working. So I only know Izu with the mix.
Yeah.
I'll work with Charles. So we just met. So I'm like, hello, hi. How is everybody doing? So I introduced myself to T-Boy. And then Gozie, I was like, Gozie, what do you do?
Yeah.
That was to the point where even though I was learning web development, I was still doing like this.
Yeah.
Today I want to be blessed in robotics. I want
Does it even really pass? See, there's still some times when you're like,
right, you're still like jumping around. I mean, Gozi told me that he was like a designer, he was doing this, like, wow, I want to learn. I'm not coding anymore. I collected Gozi's number and I was like, okay, I'm going to like do that. So that, I think that was like my first interaction with T-Boy. I didn't even know what he was doing then. I was like, I took note of him, locked it in my head, like, I'm eventually going to meet sometime in the future. So go outside, that's the one. Go outside and walk on the road.
Touch grass.
You know.
Okay, I wanted to ask also about, like, you know, before we actually get to the your startup. I know we are running short on time, but before we get to talk about your startup, I wanted you to kind of like, you know, talk to us a little bit about like what you think are like, because currently, like, with every single thing that you do, that you try to like put out there, for you to be able to like go back and say, okay, I want to do this again, it means that like some good must have come off from that turn, right? So it's something that kind of like pushes you forward. So can you tell us, like, you know, the highlights of your journey so far, and then talk to us a little bit also about your challenges, like the parts of the times where, tell us a story about like the time when you actually like had an experience that you were like, no, what, I don't want to do this anymore. Something like that, right? You're almost throwing the towel episode, if there's anything like that.
I don't want to do it anymore. I'm currently interviewing. I'm not going to call the company. I'm sorry, wait, this is the tea. I don't know if it's okay, but I'm sorry. I'm going to say this, and I'm saying this now.
It's fine. Jesus,
I said I don't want to mention this the company.
No, don't say the name.
But
it's fine.
I feel like when you want to walk there, maybe they just ask for a picture and be like, wait, if you're not fine, I reach one standard.
Wow. No, I'm not saying
it happens.
No, that's not what happened. Though. Me, I'm just saying that, maybe that's what happened. Because my interviewers were fine.
Oh my god.
I'm like, do you watch telenovelas?
Yeah.
That level of fine.
Ah.
I'm like, why high people in tech.
They have people.
And they're like
the first person I interviewed me, second, third person. Really? No. Where you get to this
bad,
from?
Bad bitches.
Why I'm talking about them was my last, because I did my last round with them this week that just finished.
Yeah.
And he asked a question about this same thing you just mentioned. Yeah. I mean, times where you feel, and the first picture that legit came into my head, 2020 April.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was when I started learning React.
Okay.
And my laptop that I was using then, 6 gig RAM. Did not those 4 gig RAM? And then I had done everything that they said that I should do. I ran npm start. It took almost 1 hour for the thing to start. My laptop fan then. You think I'm sitting on start and I saw the error message. I started crying. Because my laptop, like, it's over. I'm not doing it again. And I'll let everybody be going home. Tomorrow I'll look for another career to switch to. Yeah. And I told him this, and like, shockingly, that was the very first time I had my I have to quit moment.
Yeah.
And I've had several after that moment. Yeah. And I'm still here. I don't know if it is a good thing or maybe I'm addicted.
Yeah.
That whole I want to quit moment happens a lot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for me then someone will be like, it's just create React app. I was not even building anything serious. Yeah. And I'm already crying.
Yeah.
So no matter how small or how big the failure is, it's a lot, you know. And I'll be like, I'm not doing this. But like, I wake up to the following morning like, nah,
that's trying. Like when you have a bug, basically. That's how it
feels. Especially when you dream about the bug that you've already said, I've given up on you.
Yeah.
And then your dream is here.
Yeah. But let me see if I can. The moment of wins, let's see. My first winning moment. I think there are several. But I want to talk about these small, small wins first. Being my small win, since I talked about my app failing, the first full product that I built that was working well, I was so proud of myself.
Yeah.
Even though I look bad, I'll be like, this is a very shitty design.
Yeah, right. But at the time, it was monumental.
Yeah, it worked. And I don't know what point since I started calling me president, he was the one of the founders of the Motion West where I trained.
Yeah.
And I don't know what was at that point, but when I started being able to like build things, because he used to call me crybaby then, like, if my phone is not working, I'll cry.
So, oh my god, my sisters.
I'll cry. I'll call him or Ken that I mentioned earlier, or friends will be like, but it's not working.
It's not working. I don't know why.
So when my thing started working and it's not working, started reducing, I think that was when he started calling me like president. And that thing is like a key memory for me because it also tied to moments where, you know, those things that I'm building are actually working. And I genuinely enjoy I love coding. It makes me happy and it makes me sad.
You have a healthy relationship with coding.
Yeah. So that was a win for me. But I think a major win in terms of what we humans, you know, categorize as win is getting my first gig.
Yeah.
Right at the end of my boot camp.
Oh
yeah, to like someone believe they need to come and view the dashboard. Yeah, right? Yeah, they don't catch you.
Are you sure? Yeah. Are you sure about this?
Yeah, I'll do something. I'll be spoiled. They took a bet on me. How much did they pay me for that job? I can't remember. I was up to 200k, but I was really happy.
Yeah,
and I did it. And this was just barely 6 months like into my journey after my boot camp and everything. So that was like a win. I got that, and afterwards. Another highlight moment. Here I mentioned that my laptop was stressing me out. I got like a very efficient laptop that's in here. And the fact that I was even able to afford it, I did get some support because laptop was about 600-ish, almost 700. And I was able to like afford it. So when I look back to beginning of the year, I was hustling to get 100k. Towards the end of the year,
600,
I was able to get it, and I still had my support system, so that was like win. But major wins was like following year, and I got like my first official full contract, full job, and like, yes, we are doing this tech thing.
It's working.
I think that's like the validation for you when you get like a contract in your email, like, you're hiring me. Oh my god. So I did that. Then I think that was also the year where I started dabbling into startups.
Yeah,
I did the first one. It failed.
What was it about?
I think that was even the first version of Dabble. So I have like another startup that I did with Toby, one of the guys I was living with, like my first story, was a PM person. And we tried Toga, it was called Toga then, still an insurance system. I can't even remember what happened, but we failed.
Yeah.
They didn't know what we're doing. And I think the major lesson there was, you know, coding is not enough. That's not what makes a business.
Yeah, yeah. That's what we talked about last 2 weeks, right?
Yeah. Most people need, especially those of us that are in key, maybe engineering roles, and just feel like you just need to build product. You build it now, you and your
mom. Who uses it?
We just focused more on the product. We did not understand the in and out of running a business or any of those things. So we failed, it packed up, but I learned a lot. Obviously, I won't make that mistake again.
Yeah.
And then we came back, we're like, okay, new us, new girl. We made mistakes again. So I think those are like some moments that I can't go into like the mistakes in details, but I'll just see if I can like remember some of them. But we did make some mistakes, and it made me learn. These contracts are very important. Otherwise, you're doing business, whatever wise. And I think most of the mistakes I made in business, I was thinking is, you know, friends.
I know this person.
This guy
is my guy.
Yeah, you have to create contracts around everything that you're doing. Make sure your interests are clearly represented. You even know what your interests are. Sometimes I go into deals and I don't even know what my interests are. I was blinded with, oh my God, I want to solve world problems.
I want to build.
You can have all the best intentions, and unfortunately, it's just not
so
enough.
If you don't have it,
and it can even shit on you. Yeah. It even works out.
Exactly.
So I think those were the things that I learned and I'm still like super grateful for, because if I didn't do that, maybe I wouldn't have, you know, learned it. Let me think. This year I did get lots of wins. I got funding for like a project. I got another role that I was looking out for. I was able to do more social impact work, that I really love doing that. Okay. So yeah, there. Which Bahala did I even face this year? Let me, because there's so many. I'm trying to like pick one. I don't know, maybe let's talk about rejections. Because I talked about, you know, applying for some jobs and getting it. Yeah. I would like to say that starting out was easy for me to get my first role because it came through recommendations.
Yes.
But when I wanted to now scale and move to the next role, rejection email.
Yes.
We regret to inform you.
How do you deal with rejection?
That needs to pain my heart.
Do you know, I have really? A folder in my email that is called rejection emails.
Whoa.
So if they get back to, you know, there are some people, it's even worse, they won't get back to you.
Like,
so if they deem it fit to get back to me,
you be like,
very much into the rejection mails.
You'd be like, so you guys cannot see how amazing I am.
Yeah.
You don't see what I would have brought to your team. Well, your loss. You see, what's about me is that I'm very delulu and I'm very happy to be delusional. Because I tell myself that I'm amazing.
You must be
lucky to have me. So if you are rejecting me, you don't know what you are missing.
We get that other weird line of we found better candidates.
Why do you are doing?
Let you see them from.
Yeah.
I think it's been a crazy mix. There have been the wins, there have been the acceptance, there have been the rejections, there have been mistakes that were completely my fault.
Yeah.
I've had lots of moments of burnouts.
Yeah.
You know, still trying to learn how to regulate myself. I think I've not mastered that yet, but I'm still in the process where I overwork.
Mm-hmm.
I just keep going.
See your engine
and
up.
When I get burnt out, there's a time I went almost a month, I couldn't open my laptop. Did not do shit. I just wanted to stay in my bed and stay. And then there was a period where I was dealing with grief, and I didn't know that I was supposed to take break and work. But I just kept working until boom.
Thought that you could throw yourself into your work just so you don't deal with the problem.
And there was this pressure. I don't know where the pressure is coming from. I mean, nobody wants to succeed. I want to be great. Yes, but there was this pressure of, oh, I need to get to this
at this time.
And
then
maybe if you don't get to that level, you now feel like you failed. So I had to like train myself that no, I didn't fail. Learn to enjoy the process. This is called I don't ever forget because I'm Barrister Ifedi. I used to be a public speaker. I won lots of competitions on that as well.
You're very talented.
Sometimes when I was talking about old woman, I feel like it's because I've done so many things. I've lived several
lives.
I seemed like maybe I'm in my 80s or something. But when I was, you know, doing all of that and I won one particular competition, I came for hate and I did not win.
Yeah.
He said it doesn't mean that you're not good, right? That, and he was the one that helped me recalibrate, that he feels I focus too much on, I must come first.
Yeah.
I must do this for you to count. And he said I should sit down and enjoy the process.
Yeah.
And see what I'm actually learning and benefiting from the process, and even enjoying from the process. And like, he was not asking me things like, when you're writing down your speech, how did you feel? Like, oh, I did feel good. I feel happy. Like, that's a win for you in that moment.
Yeah.
When you were rehearsing and you were improving, like, dwell on those memories. They were part of your journey.
Yeah.
And whether you come first, second, third, you know, it was a process. So yeah. And I had to, like, it doesn't change overnight, but over the years, I had to. Anytime I'm about to go overboard, like, oh my God, I must. If this thing does not happen in March, something is wrong somewhere.
I'm not doing well.
Right? Yeah. That's pressure. Yeah. So, like, nope, I did this from this point to this point, and in, that was, that it counts for me because I did a lot of growing, did a lot of learning to get to this point. So, yeah, I think that's the whole pacing myself.
So, I wanted to talk now about, like, you know, Tabi Academy, right?
Oh, yeah.
How you came up, but you've talked about, like, you know, the ones that actually, like, failed. But Tabi Academy is currently, like, in, right?
Yeah.
So, tell us a little bit about, like, what that's about and what you hope to achieve with that.
Yeah.
And if there are other things that, you know, you won't share with us, that are also in the pipeline,
you know,
right now.
Anything in the pipeline is a love that I want to eat.
Okay.
So, Tabi Academy is an edutech product. Okay. So, most of my social impact is just like the ADAP projects, communities that I contribute to, like Femme Code Africa, and also Code First Girls in the UK, is all centered about education for women.
Okay.
So, having been in the edutech space for like a few years now, I was like, okay, what can we do to really help this space? And what the general problem that anything edutech is just trying to solve is talent development,
or
to develop talent for the existing market that needs it. So with Tabi Academy, we're trying to like train everybody, not women only, because as you see, like Sophia, she's just doing anything she's doing, just for women.
Yeah.
It's for everybody, but we still have the project arm that is still focused on an NGO that handles all things women education and all that. Tabi Academy is still in its very early stages, and we are still trying to build certain collaborations with some persons to do the exact thing. There's something I have in my head, and I want it to come out.
Right,
and I feel like I'm being super ambitious with that, but I think it can be done.
Yeah.
To just give like a small idea of what we really want to happen in Tabi Academy, take for instance, I'm a beginner and I just want to start learning my journey in tech. I enroll. Like a proper institution, you're learning things, you're building things, you want to make the platform be like gamified, interactive learning for you.
Okay.
And while you're doing that, when you get to a particular level where we've seen that, okay, yeah, you're good to go, we want to run exchange programs with big corps for you.
Okay.
So let's say you're a software engineer, we could run an exchange program for you to go spend a month or two at Microsoft.
Oh, and then, that's interesting.
Ambitious.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
I was taking it to my mentor when, I think last 2 weeks, like, again, so Nadia, I met her through Mopane. Like, I need to speak to someone in Microsoft.
Yeah,
not Microsoft Nigeria, like Microsoft. She's like, okay, Sophia, you've come again. We'll see who we can find for you,
that
we can talk to. So, most of these things are in the works, and for of course, we're going to open it up for people to start interacting with Tabi Academy. But I don't think we're going to go full blown launch until maybe even a year after now.
Because
another reason why I'm slowing down is, I really want the content and training materials in Tabi Academy to be quality.
Yeah.
From experience, that doesn't come out of anybody's ass. It takes a lot of work.
Yeah.
So once you've been in beta phase for a very long time, experiment with a lot of things, have some students come on board, try out. I mean, it's not going to be perfect, but at least the content part has to be right.
Yeah.
Right? And then by extension, see if we can set up R&D around all things learning and development as it has to do with tech.
Yeah.
So we are not only solving our own problems and that for talent development, but if you want to do something in edutech tomorrow, you don't have to build from ground up. You have something to plug into.
To what you already have. That's interesting.
Very, very interesting.
I think that the question I actually want to ask now is, because everybody is kind of like in this space, I think we've talked about this before, where we said that like everybody's in this space where tech right now is evolving. And we're afraid of like, okay, we're not afraid, we're kind of like in this space, we were like thinking to ourselves, okay, what's the next thing, right?
Yeah.
Because it's obvious that like, you know,
knowing like the things that we are okay to know, or the places that we are okay to be at a few years ago are not enough anymore, right? Mm-hmm. If you want to make an impact, if you want to make a difference, you have to be like, you have to be at a different state in the whole tech ecosystem.
Yeah.
Stuff, right? So how are you going to manage that with Tabby Academy? Because I feel like you guys are planning something based on what we currently have.
True.
Yeah.
And we don't know, and this point is like kind of like dicey, because we know that like things are evolving and everybody's in this space. So I feel like a lot of us are just like pausing, like just kind of like trying to make sure that okay. And then you guys are creating content around like what we currently have. Are you putting something in place to make sure that okay, even though this content is created with what we currently have, if it evolves tomorrow, we can easily just like swipe it out and
So I think like Mr. Ugo would say, we should always emphasize more fundamentals. Right? And I think something else that I had to say, AI, where I had a conversation with him recently, was AI has been there.
Yeah.
Right from the 80s. It's just that right now we have more tech to do things better and faster. So we're able to implement certain systems that already been created rather decades ago.
Yeah.
So that's why I also said we are not just developing like, or rather, I don't want to approach learning based on you need to know this, you need to know that. We as the academy, we want to do more research and figure out how to make learning flexible and malleable.
Yeah.
So as you're moving, it makes sense to be learning what you're learning. But you should also like start from the core fundamentals.
Yeah.
Because it's never going to change. Whatever new innovation that we want to like have now in the next 100 years, it will still be like based off very simple math and physics principles that we've already known since the beginning of time. So I think that's what we would want to leverage. And also by extension, even telling people that are already in the field, if you don't really know your shit, this is a good time to know.
Very soon, it's not like you can't fake it until you make it anymore. You have to make it and make it.
Do you have any more questions?
No, I think Sophia is like a very, she's like this box that you don't really know what to expect.
Yeah.
And you just see like a lot of, wow, this is there.
Yeah,
exactly. Like when you buy like this package, like that mystery package, exactly. And you're like, wow, we have this. Wow, we have that.
Yeah.
Like it's been so really amazing having you here and sharing us the importance of having confidence and audacity.
Yeah.
You know? I think that's one of the things you can say has really put you out there and put you to the position that you are right now, and it's probably still going to push you further because you have that audacity and how important it is, you know, to have that audacity. So like really, really appreciate stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
More women should have audacity.
Yeah.
I would love to meet women with audacity.
Because you know it's true, when you have people with audacity around you, kind of like gets
inspired
to actually like, you know.
Also, we have things to talk about. Thank you. After this thing.
After what?
Yes.
Is it about sherry rice? I don't know if I said that part.
Yellow rice.
Food is amazing.
Thank
you guys so much for tuning in and listening today. And don't forget to like and subscribe.
Oh, Sophia, if they want to follow you
On social media, social media handles.
What's my Twitter handle? Okay, Twitter is best at @Awaiza_, or you just search for Sophia Abubakar and you see some of my stuff.
So don't forget to follow Sophia,
Subscribe, share with your friends, because especially people that you want to have more audacity.
Because
this lady here is a whole pack, you know. I hope you guys learned a lot. Don't forget to like, subscribe, share everything.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bobby.